content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from AARP, the magazine, and the bulletin. I'm going to start with an article under the heading of This is 70, A Broken Watch Made Me Whole. This simple talisman of love and comfort guided me through a dark time. This is by Lynn Schoenberger. Because I was born before the Kennedy administration, the nurse at my recent annual checkup handed me a sheet of white paper with a simple circle drawn on it and asked me to create a clock face that indicated the time was 11:40. Kindergarten was the last time I drew the hands on a clock, and for the life of me, I couldn't remember if it was the shorthand that pointed to the hour or the long one. I ended up drawing a clock that read 7:55. But here's the irony of the situation. I was wearing two watches on my left wrist at the time, both analog. The first is a watch given to me by my husband, daughter, and son-in-law for my 60th birthday. It's lovely, and I cherish it. The second is an old Timex that my father wore every day, a watch that no longer works. But I started wearing it anyway when my son-in-law, Matt, was diagnosed with a rare cancer. Call my father's watch what you will, an amulet, a talisman, a conversation starter. I found it comforting to have this piece of my father with me during this dark period. Matt unsuccessfully underwent dozens of rounds of chemo, then dozens more. His odds looked grim until he was offered the chance to try a newly approved immunotherapy procedure, CAR T-cell therapy, which saved his life. It's a story with a happy ending. But during the uncertain, unspeakable 18 months that led up to Matt's recovery, I would cup my hands tightly around my wrist and my father's watch as if somehow my father could pull off a miracle for Matt, a miracle that Dad, despite being a born fighter, couldn't pull off for himself. He died just before his 76th birthday of complications from type 1 diabetes. I'll never know if wearing my father's watch truly had any impact on Matt's recovery. The only thing I know for sure is that it helped me through that dark time. I continue to wear the watch and to feel my father's presence and protection every day. Lynn Schoenberger is the best-selling author of The Botox Diaries and Let There Be Clothes. She has contributed to the New York Times, People, and other publications. And this article, under the same heading, this is 70, The Road Taken and Not Taken, Reflecting on Why My Friend and I Live Such Different Lives, and this is by Robert Wilson. Last fall, something happened that I had been dreaming about since my college days, more than half a century ago. I published a novel. The publishing house that took a chance on my work is tiny, and not much has happened with the book, but I'm grateful that it's out there. I just turned 75, which is late to embark on a new career, but until I retired from my day job nearly 4 years ago, I only had time for the dream. The novel is racy enough to make my wife worry that her friends will mistake the main character for the author, but I've lived a quieter life than he does. I didn't set out to live a quiet life, and if you'd asked me, as I was living it, I'd have protested that my days were full, a beloved wife and sons, and now grandchildren, engaging friends, and a career as a journalist that allowed me to meet interesting people. But when I think of my neighbor and friend John Wist, who is a mere 70, my life seems relatively sedate. John is thoughtful, well-organized, a fellow whose interests go in many directions, a retired engineer who actually knows how things work. Unlike me, though, he did not wait a lifetime to begin pursuing his dreams. He ran a marathon at 30. At 49, he hiked to Machu Picchu. 5 years later, he climbed Mount Kilimanjaro and then climbed Kilimanjaro again at age 67 with his daughter and son-in-law. But his most compelling dream came when he read Into Thin Air, John Krakauer's 1997 nonfiction book about a disaster on Mount Everest. After that, John says, I had to see it myself. In 2012, at age 57, he climbed to the Everest base camp on the Nepal side, which is more than 17,500 feet up and takes about a week of trekking to reach. How did we turn out to be so different in our approach to living? There's no simple answer. Part of it is that I lived cautiously because my much older brother, who was my hero, did not. He climbed Mount Fuji as a teenager, played big-time college football, raced sports cars, became a fighter pilot like our father, and then was killed at age 25 on a bombing mission in Vietnam. Much as I adored his adventurous spirit, the horror of his death and the grief that rippled out from it made me a guy who always buckles his seatbelt and stands well back from any edge. John's path was also set early. He lost his mother very young and his father not long after. His life was defined by a sense of urgency, he says. He did not want to put things off. Both of our lives remain full. I am at my desk, novelizing. John is hiking, biking, gardening, doing charitable work in Guatemala and the Philippines. And he has embarked on something new, songwriting. He performed one of his fine songs to acclaim at the 50th wedding anniversary party for my wife, Martha, and me. It wouldn't surprise me if, before too long, one of his songs got picked up and recorded. My next novel, on the other hand, will take months, if ever, to finish and get published. But I can wait. Robert Wilson is the author of The Love You Take, a novel, and biographer of P.T. Barnum. Matthew Brady and Clarence King. He was the editor of the American Scholar for nearly two decades. Now, here's a tip for living a happier, longer life. One move can help adults 70-plus avoid falls. As we get older, muscle strength and balance naturally diminish, and one fall can change your entire life. But there's a simple, powerful fix that can put you back on solid ground. It's an exercise that checks a lot of boxes and is something you can do anywhere, anytime. The farmer's carry. When you pick up a weight in each hand, adjust your posture and walk. It strengthens your grip, improves core stability, challenges your balance, builds bone density, and will elevate your heart rate, says Jocelyn Wittstein, an orthopedic surgeon at Duke University and co-author of The Complete Bone and Joint Health Plan. All the things we need to maintain independence as we age. Here is her plan. Start with a light weight in each hand, 5 to 10 pounds. Stand tall, shoulders back, core engaged. Walk for 15 to 20 seconds at a normal pace, focusing on keeping your back straight. Do not let the weight pull your shoulders forward, and do not let the dumbbells rest on your thighs as you walk. Do three sets, three times a week. Focusing on posture is more important than how heavy your weights are. As your endurance improves, gradually increase the weight you carry with each hand. Try to work your way up to carrying the loads of 45 to 60 seconds, but remember to always focus on your posture as you walk. It's easy to incorporate the farmer's carry into your life, and it's a small step toward being independent and mobile for years to come. Barbara Hannah Grufferman, host of the Age Better podcast and author of Love Your Age, The Small Step Solution to a Better, Longer, Happier Life, was the author of that part. Now I'm going to go back to AARP, the bulletin. And this is under the heading of your health. You've got some nerve. Stimulating the vagus nerve may be the answer for chronic pain, heart disease, depression, and more. This is by Jean Doran McDowell. Don Steiner, 59, had suffered with rheumatoid arthritis, RA, for 13 years. At best, a daily cocktail of medications kept her pain level at around 4 or 5 out of 10. On bad days, it was more like a 7, and there were lots of bad days, she said. But taking part in a clinical trial using vagus nerve stimulation, VNS, changed all that. A small pulse-generating device, about the size of a jelly bean, was surgically implanted under her skin on the left side of her neck. The pulse generator wraps around her vagus nerve, the body's longest cranial nerve, actually two nerves, which runs from the brain stem down through the neck on both sides of the body. This nerve relays information between vital organs, including the heart, lungs, liver, pancreas, spleen, stomach, small intestines, and colon, and the brain. For 1 minute each day, the small device in Steiner's neck released an electrical pulse that traveled through the vagus nerve to her brain. The device activates what we call the inflammatory reflex, which signals the vagus nerve to slow down inflammation, says neurosurgeon Dr. Kevin J. Tracy, president and CEO of Northwell Health's Feinstein Institutes for Medical Research and author of The Great Nerve, The New Science of the Vagus Nerve and How to Harness Its Healing Reflexes. Although VNS can't undo existing damage, it can reduce the inflammation so significantly that pain and future damage can be prevented. Sure enough, within a week, Steiner felt some relief, and over the next few weeks, her pain subsided considerably. 2.5 years later, with the VNS device still implanted, the Massapequa, New York speech pathologist experiences a pain level of 1 on most days. It's very manageable, she says. Electrical stimulation of the nerve, which is already used to treat some cases of epilepsy, may also have the potential to treat a range of conditions, including lupus, PTSD, inflammatory bowel disease, fibromyalgia, and cardiac issues. In July, the Food and Drug Administration approved an implantable set point system, the first vagus nerve device for treating RA, which was developed based on research conducted by Tracy and his team. And also last year, a study in the journal Brain Stimulation confirmed the efficacy of VNS to manage treatment-resistant depression, paving the way for health coverage by insurance companies. We will see VNS explode on the scene in the next 5 years. It's an exciting time, says Tracy Centani, director of the Genetics of Auditory and Visual Perception and Plasticity Lab at the University of Florida. An awareness of the vagus nerve has also struck a nerve, pun intended, among wellness influencers who tout the benefits of everything from non-invasive VNS devices sold online to nerve-stimulating cold plunges, probiotics, and even humming. And there's an article about this that I will get to. Researchers now know that VNS improves vagal tone, and the greater your tone, the more active the nerve. A higher functioning vagus nerve is key to regulating heart rate and blood pressure, controlling the release of digestive enzymes and gastric acid, and helping move food through the digestive tract. These signals can turn on and off the body's production of inflammation, the hallmark symptom of RA, and a contributing factor to many other diseases, including gastrointestinal problems such as acid reflux and irritable bowel syndrome, and neurodegenerative conditions like Alzheimer's disease. Tracy calls this two-way communication the inflammatory reflux. Inside each side of the nerve is 100,000 fibers, and each and every fiber has been programmed over millions of years to do a specific job, says Tracy. While Tracy concedes that VNS doesn't work for everyone, it can be an effective and less expensive alternative to using medicines to treat many conditions, including stroke rehabilitation. While VNS won't cure a stroke, it can help many patients recover independence in everyday tasks, such as feeding themselves, says Robert Reniker, Associate Director of the Texas Biomedical Device Center in Dallas. Clinicians apply half-second bursts of VNS at the precise moment in physical therapy when patients are trying movements like reaching or grasping to help retrain brain circuitry, helping them regain use of their limbs. Spinal cord injuries. Last year, scientists demonstrated that VNS coupled with progressive individualized rehabilitation over 12 weeks can lead to improvement for partial spinal cord injuries. This approach produced improvements in arm and hand function and is on track for FDA approval. Cardiac issues. VNS is regarded as a promising potential therapy for cardiovascular disorders such as cardiac arrest and heart attack, in addition to stroke. Epilepsy. Almost 30 years ago, the FDA approved the use of VNS for the treatment of epileptic seizures that don't respond to standard medications. More than 65% of people who have had VNS for 10 years or more show continued improvement in seizure control. And lastly, migraine headaches. A clinical trial in 2018 showed that VNS decreased the level of migraine pain at 30 and 60 minutes after using the device. The following year, VNS was approved for the prevention of cluster headaches as well. High vagal tone has been linked to better cognitive performance, especially decision-making and self-regulation. It also helps reduce heart rate and muscle tension and promotes relaxation. Conversely, low tone is associated with heightened stress and a reduced ability to cope with cognitive challenges. Although more study is needed, one pilot investigation of the effect of VNS on cognition in 10 patients with Alzheimer's disease showed promise, with stability or improvement in cognitive performance noted in some of the patients over 6 months of treatment. VNS has been FDA approved for treatment-resistant depression, which often causes memory issues in older patients, since 2005. A lot of treatments transiently help with treatment-resistant major depression, but once you stop delivering, the patient slides back into depression within months to a year, says Dr. Charles Conway, a professor of psychiatry at the Washington University School of Medicine. But vagal nerve stimulation is different. If you're responding well to VNS, there's a good chance you will maintain that response over time, Conway says. I have patients who have benefited for 5, 10, 15, and more years. A 2026 study conducted by Conway and others demonstrated that approximately 80% of patients with markedly treatment-resistant depression who responded to VNS after 1 year showed sustained benefits at the 2-year mark. This is just the tip of the iceberg, says Tracy. We're going to see new trials in multiple sclerosis, diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular disease, and many will make their way into clinical settings. The vagus nerve is the strings on 100,000 violins. Each of these strings carries a specific note, but together they make a beautiful symphony. And this piece was written by Jean Doran McDowell, who has written for Time magazines and other publications. And now we have a sidebar article, Vagus Nerve Stimulation at Home. A number of at-home VNS devices can be found for sale online, but VNS devices, most of which do not have the FDA approval, should never be used without first consulting your doctor, as they can be dangerous for those with heart conditions or implanted devices. Only one at-home device for the treatment of cluster headaches and migraines has FDA approval. At-home VNS devices can help with meditation or creating a sense of calm, but it's unlikely that home users can place the device in a way that actually stimulates the nerve itself, says Tracy Centani of the University of Florida. But there are a number of safer device-free techniques that may harness the vagus nerve, but can also calm your body in other ways. Slow, deep, diaphragmatic or belly breathing. A few minutes each day stimulates the vagus nerve as the diaphragm moves, activating the body's relaxation response. Breathe through your nose for a count of six and exhale through your mouth for a count of eight. Aerobic exercise boosts the number of blood vessels that fuel your brain and enhances connectivity between brain cells, which may increase vagal tone. Brief exposure to very cold temperatures may stimulate the nerve pathways and reduce the body's natural stress response. Rinsing your face with cold water or placing an ice pack for a few minutes on your neck can have an impact. Meditation may activate the vagus nerve by calming the network of nerves that control a wide array of physiological processes. Gentle massage of the shoulders, neck, and feet may help stimulate the nerve. And finally, the nerval vibrations. From humming, resonates through the vocal cords, creating signals that some researchers believe may travel along the vagal nerve. And let's look at one more health article in the bulletin. Ask Dr. Adam. A top internist and cardiologist answers your questions with surprising doctor-tested tips. Can I strengthen my brain later in life? Dr. Adam. Our brain can form new connections and even grow new cells throughout our lives with the right conditions. What we do every day can change our brain's trajectory. Here are five things to focus on. Exercise. Even light activity counts. Walking, dancing, swimming, gardening, tai chi, whatever keeps you moving, improves blood flow, lowers inflammation, and strengthens the same vascular network that keeps your kidneys and brain alive. Just 150 minutes a week of moderate activity can measurably improve your brain's performance. That's just over 20 minutes a day. Food. In the MIND diet, M-I-N-D, a hybrid of the Mediterranean and DASH, dietary approaches to stop hypertension diets, researchers found that older adults who adhered most closely to the plan had a 53% lower risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. What should you be eating? Leafy greens, berries, nuts, lean proteins, and whole grains. Cut down on processed foods and sugars, which drive inflammation. Remember, inflammation is the enemy. It's what ages your brain most rapidly. The more you can eat in a way that reduces the harmful process, the better your brain will perform. Omega-3 fatty acids found in salmon, walnuts, and flaxseed are particularly powerful. They support neuron structure and communication, which helps your brain stay nimble as you age. Sleep. This is essential for memory and the removal of metabolic waste from your brain. Ideally, you should be getting between 7 and 9 hours of shut-eye every night. Without it, you won't be giving your brain enough time to clean and organize itself. Curiosity. Research shows that lifelong learning protects cognition. So take a class, learn a new language, try painting or playing music. These challenges engage neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to rewire and strengthen itself. Connection, staying engaged with friends and your community buffers against loneliness, depression, and brain decline that can follow. Is sleep apnea serious? Dr. Adam, there are two types of sleep apnea. Obstructive sleep apnea, the more common one, occurs when the muscles in your throat relax during sleep, narrowing or blocking your airway. When oxygen levels drop, your brain wakes you just enough to gasp or snort. Then the cycle repeats, sometimes dozens or even hundreds of times a night. Central sleep apnea is less common and involves your brain failing to send proper signals to the muscles that control breathing. Some people have a mix of both. Left untreated, sleep apnea doesn't just leave you tired. It increases your risk of high blood pressure, irregular heart rhythms, heart attack, stroke, insulin resistance, weight gain, and cognitive decline. Over time, this nightly stress can injure blood vessels and brain cells, contributing to long-term health complications. So sleep apnea can be very serious, especially if untreated. But here's the good news. It's highly treatable, and a diagnosis is easier than ever. The gold standard remains a sleep study performed overnight in a lab where your brain waves, oxygen, and breathing are monitored. There are also at-home tests that can identify moderate to severe sleep apnea. An effective treatment is a continuous positive airway pressure, CPAP, machine, which delivers a continuous stream of air through a mask worn over the nose and mouth. Other options include dental applications that reposition your jaw, positional therapy, sleeping on your side, for example, weight loss medications, and lifestyle changes such as losing weight, exercising, and avoiding alcohol before bed. For patients who cannot tolerate CPAP treatment, an implantable device that prevents airway obstruction is another option. This was written by Adam B. Rosenbluth, MD. He practices and teaches in New York City. Each Monday online, he answers your questions about how to make your body work better for you. And we have two little notes here. For more advice on living better, go to aarp.org/members-edition. I wish my husband were more social. She's an extrovert. He's an introvert. It's causing issues. Go to aarp.org/in-the-mood. Do I need to file taxes if I'm retired? Maybe not, but you might want to anyway. Go to aarp.org/retired-tax-return. And time for a couple more money-saving tips under cell phones. Avoid redundant insurance. Some credit cards include insurance for damaged or stolen phones as long as you pay your monthly phone bill with the card. So check the fine print of your current cards before you spend $10 to $20 per month for the protection sold through your carrier. And test out cheaper networks. Before you commit to a lower-priced carrier and network, ask to test it out for a week to ensure that it works for you. Many companies will give you a physical or electronic SIM card for a trial. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. I do hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join me next time. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. We'll be right back.